that text and drive. We may all be faced with that conflict at times, but it is a conflict. It could be also compared to having two different people's hands on the steering wheel. There'd be tension, and I could relate to that because in real life we do sort of face that, don't we? At least I do. I faced it Wednesday evening when it was mission meeting. Tension between the spiritual and the physical. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about, but it is that tension. What's going to give? I struggled because we were away a couple days and bishops were together, and come home Wednesday and yes, I should go to mission meeting, but I don't feel like going to mission meeting. And I did go with one of my sons, but probably some more of you struggled with that. Some of you were there and probably some not, but I really do face that tension between the physical and the spiritual, and we need to pray for each other. Even in a service like this morning, we can face that, can't we? The physical wants to come here in our minds, and so God bless you as we each endeavor to have the spiritual win. Well, as was announced, Anthony and Valerie Hurst and their daughters, Janelle and Rhonda, have made application here for membership. We have received a favorable church letter some time ago. Ministry met with Anthony's for an interview also some time ago. The interview was favorable. Just this morning we met with Janelle a little bit. We had received her application from Columbia. But they were presented as members on proving, and today we're here to receive them as members with full privileges. So we do this with asking them to share their personal testimony. And we'll begin with Brother Anthony.
They whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. There's two times that this word imputed is used, and one suggests that God will impute righteousness, but the other option is that God will impute sins. And what a sobering thought for my life to think that God is imputing one of those two.
Usual. Gone and come back, but we are very grateful for that. It's like I told Janelle this morning, with having somewhat of an interview just the same morning of receiving them because of distance. It's someone we knew and had some confidence in that we don't always have with those that we don't know as well. But those of you that are members here who can welcome Anthony and Valerie and their daughters into fellowship here. We are shifting gears into a message this morning. You may open your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Have you ever been alarmed by the shallowness that can creep into your Christian experience? It's alarming to me how easy it is to become a static Christian. A static Christian, it's where things just stay about the same. Yeah, we know that this has been a problem since the birth of the church. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" You know, when spiritual progress is stunted, slowed, and going nowhere, that is static. You know, many Christians become satisfied with being a static Christian. In the parable of the sower in Matthew, you need not turn to it. It's just one verse from the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, verse 8. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Notice that, the 30, the 60, and the 100. And I believe that can be applied to gifts. But I believe it can also be applied to the amount of purpose and striving in the Christian life. You know, some Christians are satisfied to be a 30-fold Christian. And they want to be in a church that has 30-fold Christians. That way they're feel content. In fact, any higher numbers would be scary. A higher number would be too much work. The title of the message is Increase for the 30-fold Christian. Increase for the 30-fold Christian. There'd be many different ways of further explaining what I mean by the 30-fold Christian. A quote from A.W. Tozer is, I believe in Christ, now let's go for a soda. I believe in Christ, now let's go for a soda. It's that type of Christianity. The shallow, really not making progress, if anything, less progress. How can we break out of that? How can we break out of a static Christian experience? We like to look at the story here in Mark chapter 5. The woman touching the hem of Jesus' garment and taking some lessons from that. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. The number of things in this little story that I believe we can apply to ourselves in being able to break out of a static Christian experience, one that is not making progress as it should. I believe, first of all, we need to be discontented, convicted, and convinced. Those three words. We need to be discontented with the state. We need to be convinced that it's not right, or rather convicted that it's not right and convinced that we're going to do something about it. This certain woman could have gave in to a lot of different thoughts. She could have said, well, this is the way I am. You know, it's been this way for years. It's not going to change. I mean, this is the way I am. I'm a hopeless case. I marvel at this woman that she did not give up. You would think that after so many years that she would just give up and say that there's no answer for me. But she did not. She continued to endeavor to find an answer. You know, she kept her ear to the ground for answers for her need. Why was that? That she was always looking and listening for an answer. Well, it's because she was discontented with her situation. You know, until we are discontented with our situation, discontented with our lack of growth, discontented with our lack of progress, and those are things that are right to be discontented about. Until we come to that place, there's nothing that will change. One day will roll into the next, and 1 week into the next, and the 1 year into the next year, and we'll continue to be a static Christian, just sort of just not really much happening in making spiritual progress. You're the 30-fold Christian needs to be discontented. He needs to be convicted and he needs to be convinced. Would have it worked for her to been forced by her friends to go to Jesus? If they would have grabbed her and said, we have the answer for you. We're taking you to Jesus. Yeah, that doesn't work today either. You know, we can nudge people to a higher level, a higher plateau of Christian living, from going from a 30-fold Christian to 60 to 70, 80. But finally, don't we need to decide? We need to decide. You know, if someone wants to be a 30-fold Christian, you know, we cannot change it against their will. Challenge myself with this message. A higher level of Christian life and experience. We're looking for answers. Moving a little higher. In our walk with the Lord, our Christian experience. Secondly, another answer is to stop being an animus. You know, her idea was to get her need met without anyone knowing it. And that's so appealing to the natural man. You know, be in denial to others. Not let anyone know about the spiritual sickness that we have. Get healed of our spiritual sickness and nobody even knows it. Nobody even knew we had a problem. No one even knows that we were sick. Yeah, how frightening it was for her to see Jesus looking around for her. It says there that she feared. You know, her plan of being an animus fell flat. Jesus in verse 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Jesus was quiet, just looking around. And she trembled. And she came and told him all the truth. She came and told him all the truth. Brethren and sisters, what a courageous thing that she did. That was very courageous of her to come to Jesus and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Brethren and sisters, that took a lot of courage. To say, it was me, it was me. It was a personal acknowledgement. Yeah, we won't break out of static Christianity until we acknowledge ourselves. Until we acknowledge that this is who I am. I'm really not going anywhere in my Christian life. I'm losing ground. I'm bounced to defeat constantly. Luke chapter 8, this is also a story there. I'd like to just read Luke chapter 8, verse 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. That underlined in my Bible with a star behind it just has impressed me how she declared unto him before all the people. How courageous she was. She acknowledged herself and what had happened. May we have courage to do that. Stop being anonymous with our issue, our problem, our sin, our static Christianity. And I believe that will be the start of some progress. Thirdly, is push forward to Jesus. Notice that she came in the press behind. Would have been interesting to see this happen. How long did it take for her to come in the press behind? It may have taken a little bit of time. Keep pressing, till she was just getting closer and closer, till she was there close enough to touch Jesus. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? What a beautiful picture of that woman and also those verses of somebody that's wanting something more. You think of this woman facing those hindrances of all those people that were surrounding Jesus. And then the disciples, you know, they thought that Jesus was being a little ridiculous of trying to find out who touched him. Verse 31. Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? As we can picture that in our mind this morning, can we transfer it to ourselves? To me and to you. Are we pushing ahead? Where are we? Am I pushing ahead? These obstacles that are trying to keep me away from Jesus and a close relationship with Jesus. Am I pushing forward to have a deeper and stronger relationship with our Lord? Is that you? Is that me? Is that I pushing forward through the obstacles to have a growing and a deepening relationship with God? And if that's not happening, shouldn't we be able to figure out why it's not happening? Why my relationship with God is not deepening, getting stronger, getting sweeter, getting better as time goes along? Are we willing to deal with the obstacles? I think some of the biggest obstacles are just very close to us, and that is self-life, pride, anger, lust, so forth. Fourthly, we're thinking of breaking out from a 30-fold Christian, being a 30-fold Christian, is turning from the world. Turning from the world. You know, this certain woman, she turned away from the physicians of the world, and she turned her back on them, and she looked to the great physician, Jesus Christ. You can't do both of them at the same time. And when she did that, what a difference that made. What a difference that made. There was no testing. There was no waiting for blood results. There was no identification of the disease. It was the hand. What it was is the hand of a desperate woman reaching out and touching Jesus by faith. And just like that, there was a miracle from heaven. It was such a genuine faith. Yet she was not trying to impress anyone. She thought it was, nobody would know. But this woman was very desperate for healing. She was desperate for wholeness in her life. And she received it. It was a miracle. It was a miracle from heaven. You think she had another backup plan? You think she was thinking of maybe later in the day of visiting another physician? Think she was, her thought was, well, let's try Jesus. Give this a chance. And then later have another meeting with someone else. I don't think so. I don't think so. But we need to remember that if we're going to have life, if we're going to be people that have spiritual life in us, we're going to need to turn from the world. It's impossible to have spiritual life and not be turning from the world. I believe that one of the main reasons that there are 30-fold Christians that do not break from that is the world. We have the verses in 1 John chapter, if you will, turn to familiar verses in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Dear brethren and sisters, these are verses that we need to keep in our heart and mind. As the world continues to give us their message and show us their things that really are quite impressive, we need to remember these verses right here. We're impressed with the world. We'll have the end of the world. Finally, that pathway to God is he that doeth the will of the God abideth forever. Yeah, the hundredfold Christian continues to not be fooled by the world. Brothers and sisters, we can't be fooled by the world. And it is easy to be fooled by the world. The world does not meet the real needs of man. You know, why are the things happening in the world? May I say the ridiculous things, the regrettable things that happen in the world. That regrettable situation of a group of teenagers videoing a drowning man and laughing and making fun of him and have him drown And later this video surfaces of what happened. You know, the issues of today are not, it's not about animals. It's not about icebergs. It's about man and what he has become. He needs Jesus. Those young men that did that, they need Jesus. And the pictures of the man that drowned with his face full of tattoos, I believe he needed Jesus. It's a sad world indeed. But that's what the world offers. It's really an end, and it's destruction. We need to remember that. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Fifthly, breaking free of a 30-fold Christian life is accepting the loneliness of the crucified life. Yeah, this certain woman was alone, went alone to Jesus. You know, it was personal. You know, there was no companions. It was a very personal experience. There was a personal conclusion and a personal victory. And I believe this illustrates a very important aspect of successful Christian living. Or we could say victorious Christian living. Accepting the loneliness of the crucified life. It requires a longing heart. It requires a heart that is longing for God. And desiring God and praying for God, wanting more of God. And finally, it's that person that will penetrate the veil and encounter God. So you need to be fairly serious about it. And it's very personal. You're the Old Testament high priest. Went through a number of stages of preparation to enter into the presence of Jehovah. There was various washings. There was the blood offering. Who else was with him when he went in? Well, he was alone. He was alone and he could go there because he was protected by the washings and the blood sacrifice. He stood alone in the presence of God. Yeah, there was no helps. You know, we live in an era of helps. And you think, well, you have this problem. Well, you can go to Clay Bookstore or Ken's Joys or some other bookstore and find some book on it. Some help. We live in an era of helps. And there's probably no time in history that there have been more helps for the Christian life than now. And the question I raise is, why aren't these helps helping more? Why aren't they helping more than what they are? Seems like the strangest contradiction, that the more Bible helps we have, and yet the less fruitful and powerful we are. Galatians chapter 2:20. Turn to Galatians 2:20, very familiar verse, one that needs to be in our heart. We're thinking about accepting the loneliness of the crucified life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Notice, personal. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Yeah, we want to exercise the ministry of helps. And we think that if we have a crowd of help around us, will be very helpful. And I don't want to continue. I want to be balanced with this. But I know that breaking out of a static Christian experience can be a very lonely journey. Yes, we need helpers by our side. But there's a limit to that. That can only go so far. You know, when we come into the presence of God, we come by ourselves. We come by ourselves. You know, I cannot hand you a meaningful, vibrant Christian life. It would be nice to do that. Say, here it is. Take it. But it just does not happen that way. It's just like that high priest coming in there by himself. If you're going to have a close walk with God, a personal walk with God, it's going to be something that you need to do. It's something that I need to do. And it's something that can be a lonely walk, the crucified life. I am crucified with Christ, dying with Christ, nailing more and more of self to the cross. Not because the preacher talked to me or somebody else, but because God talked to me. And then I nail a little more on the cross. That's growing. That's breaking free of a static Christian experience when there's movement and there's change because of what God is doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing. Sixthly, this I just added, and it's because it's, I'm not sure that I don't have much written down. I jotted a few things down through Sunday school. But it's something that's close to my heart, and it is to see the snare of technology and communication. See the snare of technology and communication. We're thinking of a breaking out of a 30-fold Christian, static Christian life. Backing up to our devotions. Brother Dewey read out of Psalms 19. Who wrote Psalms 19? Who wrote it? David. David wrote. And then we sang How Great Thou Art. And that reference there was Psalm 40. And that was verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Who wrote that? It's David. I'm not going to say a lot on this, but our decrees do say that the ministry, we're to warn of the dangers of technology. I'm not sure exactly how it says it in our decrees. But we live in some very dangerous times. I raise this question. And yes, someone also, we were together as a family, and my brother-in-law read about David as for the devotions. And he brought it down to the children about how what he did out there when he tended sheep, and how he started using those stones and shooting them in the bear. And He sang. But I had to think, if David had a smartphone out there in the woods with him, would we have the same David? You think about that. We'd have, if David would have been out there in his teen years, he would have had a smartphone. And he could have had that to play games on. He could have had that to stay in touch with all his cousins and all his relatives and keep up with all the news. Would we have the same David? Would we have a boy that grew up and could write the Psalms? A boy that being in solitude didn't drive him crazy. He could sit there and enjoy solitude. Think about God. Think about his future. He could grab that sling and enjoy it getting good and good at it. Well, I guess if he had a smartphone, he may not have learned how to use a slingshot. He probably wouldn't have killed the bear. Probably not killed Goliath either. I don't want to take that too far, but I really think that we have some real dangers. And I believe technology, if we do not see the snare of it, and we do not draw personal lines, it will be a great hindrance from breaking out of a static Christian life. I believe it's one of the real great tools Satan is using. And we have some directions as a church, but it needs to go further than that, dear brethren and sisters and young people, where we can draw lines to ourselves and say, what is this doing to me? This is making me shallow. This is not making me a man of God or a woman of God. Brother mentioned recently, he preached on how a young man said that he's drawn a line on status. I don't think he looks at status and is involved with status. You see how these things can just take a lot of time. And some of you may not know what I mean about status, but yeah. Question you can think about is, what about when status and WhatsApp is owned by Facebook? What about if they let it on for a week? And I expect there'll be continual changes, and they let the status on for a week. You know, I think we're going to face some tough decisions in the future, and where we're going to draw some lines. And we have to decide if we're going to let these things undo us, and we're going to have people and ourselves where we can't break out of static Christian life because of our technology. And I challenged myself in that. I was challenged with a few weeks ago, visiting, and there was an older brother that had a lot of ministerial experience and had been in India and had stories to tell. And later on, I felt guilty that I didn't engage myself more. There was him and another brother talking. But I believe it can be one of the effects of being so connected socially with our devices and computers, and then we're with people and we don't really engage ourselves like we should and say, wow, I'm glad to meet you. Because we've had so much, I mean, there's enough on my phone now that stuff this morning that, hey, I just blocked it out. I can't keep up with some things. But at the same time, there's some real nice things. On the way here, I could listen to my daughter in Honduras talk about some things happening down there. So it's really nice. It's really nice. Us bishops have a WhatsApp group, and we different ministry, and it is so convenient. It is so nice. But We need to see some of these things as a snare, and we need to draw lines. I believe this thing is huge, and I believe it's going to be one of the things that's going to keep Christians struggling more and more. In concentration of the Word, in concentration in prayer life, I believe this technology is actually influencing in our brains more than what we realize, and there would be proof on that. In conclusion, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Can I just keep being a static Christian? A question I would raise is, you know, why be, may I use the word runt, a runt Christian, when there's no reason for it? The word runt means an animal unusually small of its kind. Third definition is a person of small stature. In poultry, we'd think of a call, I guess you'd call it. You know, from a physical standpoint, to pass up physical vitality. You know, when there's an answer to have physical vitality, but then be in a hospital or in a care facility, we'd say, well, that's senseless. Here's an opportunity to have physical vitality, and you're choosing just to be in the care facility. Why miss out on the blessing of health, an active lifestyle? What should motivate us? Well, it needs to be that love. We think of David in the Psalms, and why did he take time to meditate and pray and journal? And he loved God. He loved God. And brothers and sisters, we need to love God. Love Him. Love Him. And many of these things will become inspired by it. You know, if we don't really care to be more than a 30-fold Christian, then we're buying into the cheap grace thinking. We need to think about how costly our salvation was. Brethren and sisters, it is worth it. It's one of the best investments, is to invest in our Christian life. It's so important to invest in our Christian life. Finally, isn't that really what's going to make a difference when we stand before God? What kind of Christian were we? Were we a real Christian? May God help us. Take courage, brothers and sisters. The battles are real. Satan doesn't want us to go to higher ground, and he has many ways of making it difficult. But I'm convinced that there is a way. There is a way to be a growing Christian and have a vibrant relationship with God. May God help us. Let's kneel for prayer.